This is a podcast by the Business Times.
Singapore shares opened 0.1% higher on Tuesday, July 12th, maintaining the momentum to close up 0.5% as the rest of Asia retreated. Asian banks' market caps see Q2 decline on recession fears, according to data compiled by S&P Global Market Intelligence. U.S. inflation accelerated in June by more than forecast, up to 9.1%, sending Wall Street sharply lower at the midweek. China's economy contracts in Q2. And Singapore's economy grows 4.8% year-on-year in Q2, but flat sequentially according to flash estimates. It's Friday, the 15th of July. Welcome to Market Focus, a weekly look at market drivers and movements from the Business Times. I'm podcast editor Clarissa Montero. Asia opened Monday, July 11th, mixed, with Singapore and Malaysia closed in observance of a holiday. Tokyo stocks opened the week on Monday higher after Japan's ruling bloc won a supermajority in Sunday's upper house election, held just days after the assassination of Shinzo Abe, but slipped on Tuesday's open. Singapore stocks began the shortened trading week slightly higher on Tuesday. The Straits Times Index edged up 0.1% and ended the day up 0.5% to close at 3,146 points, bucking the downward trend of the day in the rest of the region. Labor Department data showed on Wednesday, July 13th, the U.S. Consumer Price Index rose 9.1% from a year earlier in a broad-based advance, the largest gain in four decades. The widely followed inflation gauge increased 1.3% from a month earlier, the most since 2005, reflecting higher gasoline, shelter, and food costs. Wall Street was sharply lower after the data release, fueled by bets that the U.S. Federal Reserve will hike interest rates aggressively to tame surging prices. As recession fears rise, negative investor sentiment has seen 20 of APEC's largest banks recording declines in their market capitalization for the second quarter of this year, according to data compiled by S&P Global Market Intelligence on July 7th. Australian banks were among the largest market cap losers, with all four banks on the list registering double-digit falls. Singapore's DBS was also among the losers, with the third largest decrease in market cap, recording a 17.16% fall quarter and quarter to $54.8 billion. The trio of local banks were down in early trade on Thursday, falling further in the day to close in the red. OCBC sank 1.4% to $11.25. UOB lost 1.2% to close at $26.05. And DBS fell 1.1% to $29.80. Singapore stocks opened higher today, even after Wall Street stocks closed mostly lower on Thursday. The Straits Times Index rose 0.2% to 3,096 points. DBS inched up 0.03% to $29.81. UOB opened 0.1% higher at $26.07. OCBC, meanwhile, was flat at $11.25. In official data released today, China's economy contracted sharply in the second quarter, while annual growth also slowed significantly. Gross domestic product fell 2.6% in the second quarter from the previous quarter, compared with expectations for a 1.5% decline and a revised 1.4% gain in the previous quarter. Here's Lionel Lin, Director of Research at SGX Securities, with some context.
The STI has been trading around the 3,100 level so far this month in July. Post the morning session on 14th of July, the index is on track to post a 0.9% decline for the past four sessions ending 14th July, a short week due to the public holiday on Monday. This represents an outperformance over the 1.9% decline seen for the Asia Pacific benchmark. For the month of July so far, STI is about flattish as compared to the regional benchmark at minus 1.7%. Looking at some of the notable outperformance for the week to date, filtered by companies with a market cap of at least 300 million Sing dollars, specialized e-commerce logistics China REIT, EC World REIT, gained 12.5% this week. Last week, the REIT announced it successfully extended the maturity of its outstanding onshore and offshore facilities to 30th April 2023, obtaining sufficient time to complete its ongoing refinancing exercise. Leading banking solutions and fintech firm Silverlake Axis gained 7.5%. The firm recently announced entering into a strategic partnership agreement with Finastra, a global provider of financial software applications, to offer the latest trade finance solutions to its customers in ASEAN. Food tech company Oceanus Group was up 6.3%. The company previously announced it was undergoing its third growth phase, where they are looking to digitalize their four business pillars, namely food production, distribution, services and innovation, according to management. The week's notable laggards were leading F&B products supplier Del Monte Pacific, which declined 6.6%. The stock recently went ex-dividend on 12th of July, paying out US$0.017 per ordinary shares to shareholders. Oil exploration and production player Rex International declined 6.1%, with its stock price movement in tandem with recent crude oil movements. The company recently announced its June's production update for its Oman and Norway facilities. Integrated agribusiness provider Miwa Group declined 5.7%. The company is slated to release its half-year results ending 30th June, 12th of August. Investors' focus this week has been on the release of the US Consumer Price Index on Wednesday. A separate release also showed inflation-adjusted wages based on average hourly earnings declined 3.6% year-on-year. Top of investors' minds are if inflation has peaked and what will be the rate hike decision for the upcoming Fed meeting in late July.
Kelly Ng, correspondent with the Business Times News Desk, provides further insight.
The three major Wall Street indices slipped in the week through Thursday, but were still relatively resilient. One possible read is that the markets do not think inflation will stay entrenched. In the words of market analyst Jeffrey Haley, if we had seen data like that from the US on another week, Wall Street would have been rushing for the exit door. The lack of panic from the US also saw Asia treading water. MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares has fallen 1.4% so far this week.
Still to come, US inflation for June came in higher than forecasted at 9.1%, and at home, the Monetary Authority of Singapore tightened monetary policy in a surprise move on the back of raised inflation forecasts. We take a closer look with Lionel Lin and Kelly Ng.
Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa-enabled devices. And now back to our podcast episode.
The Singapore economy grew by 4.8% year-on-year in the second quarter of 2022, picking up from 4.0% in the 3 months prior, according to flash data. But there was other notable news for investors to consider, Lionel.
The MAS, in an off-cycle move, announced it will re-center the midpoint of the Singapore dollar nominal effective exchange rate policy band up to its prevailing level, with no changes to the slope and width of the band. MAS stated this policy move, building on previous tightening moves, should help slow the momentum of inflation and ensure medium-term price stability. MAS also expects core inflation to be between 3 to 4% for full year 2022, up from the earlier forecast range of 2.5 to 3.5%, with headline inflation projected to be 5 to 6% higher than earlier forecast of 4.5 to 5.5%. Temasek announced that its net portfolio value grew to SGD 403 billion, with Singapore accounting for 27% of their portfolio as the end of March 2022. This is the first time the firm's portfolio value has crossed SGD 400 billion. 1 year total shareholder return stands at 5.8%. Temasek expects its pace of investment to slow in the current fiscal year amidst current macro uncertainties. According to Accra Records, a total of 24,500 business entities in Singapore ceased operations in the first half of 2022, up 3% year on year. The three sectors with the biggest increases in closures came from F&B services, manufacturing and retail trade. Flash data from real estate portals 99.co and SRX showed that HDB resale prices rose for the 24th straight month in June. HDB resale flat prices rose 1.2% last month, a quicker pace compared with May's 0.5%. On the rental front, condominiums and HDB prices also continued their upward trajectory in June, climbing 2.1% and 2.3% month-on-month respectively, marking the 18th straight month of rental growth for condominiums and 24th straight month for HDB rents. A NUS Institute IREUS study showed that buyers are still able to afford private homes despite recent rate hikes. However, they may be priced out depending on the loan tenor of their mortgage should rates reach 3.5% and above.
Elsewhere in the Asia-Pacific, South Korea's central bank raised its policy interest rate by an unprecedented half percentage point, while the typically dovish Philippine central bank announced an unscheduled rate hike of 75 basis points this week. We may see similar tightening moves in the coming days as other monetary authorities in the region take aim at inflation. The reintroduction of COVID-19 restrictions in China also weighed down on sentiment in some Asian markets early in the week, but promising trade data in the world's second largest economy put the Shenzhen Component Index back on an upward climb on Thursday. On the currency front, the euro fell below $1 for the first time in close to two decades. The uncertainty of gas flows and widespread recession concerns across the continent presents headwinds for the euro. Speculation is rife that Russia may prolong its suspension of gas delivered via the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, which is Europe's single biggest piece of gas import infrastructure. The greenback has continued to strengthen against other currencies in Asia. In particular, the recent slump in commodity prices could prove another headwind for the rupiah and ringgit. Oil prices, which have tumbled in the past fortnight on recession concerns, fell again, reflecting fears that a looming rate hike could hit oil demand. Gold has also dipped. The prospects of higher rates makes the bullion less attractive as it bears no interest.
So does the economic data released this week mean we carry continued jitters into the new week, or is there news that might give investors an upside to consider?
From a company perspective, SPH REIT, in its third quarter FY22 business update, announced DPU of SGD 1.45, which is up 5.1% year-on-year and 0.7% Q-on-Q. The REIT stated tenant sales has improved above pre-COVID levels for all assets except for its Australia's Fig Tree Grove, with management mentioning improving sentiment amongst retailers with increasing acceptance of higher rent. Capital Land Development announced it is acquiring a prime mixed-use site in Ho Chi Minh City with an estimated total gross development value of approximately SGD 1 billion, spanning 8 hectares. This site would yield about 1,100 residential units and shophouses, with a launch in 2024 and completion slated by 2027. ST Engineering announced it is entering the data center cooling market via its launch of cooling technology to help data center operators achieve energy savings. The company stated this project is still in the pilot stage, with operators having a local presence with a global footprint. SATS will be divesting their 49% stake in Malaysian in-flight caterer for 10 million ringgit following a comprehensive review of its current market position and the caterer's operating circumstances. Keppel and Keppel Infrastructure Trust will jointly commit 160 million euros to secure a 33.33 stake in a joint investment vehicle, FunCo, to co-invest in European onshore wind energy portfolio. Keppel Infrastructure Trust, as part of a Keppel consortium, has been also selected as a preferred bidder to acquire a major integrated waste management player in South Korea.
This has been Market Focus from the Business Times. I'm Clarissa Montero with Lionel Lin, Director of Research at SGX Securities, and Kelly Ng from the Business Times News Desk.
That was a podcast by the Business Times. Send your feedback to podcast@sph.com.sg. Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa-enabled devices. For more podcasts by The Straits Times, The Business Times, and Money FM 89.3, you can also download the Audio by SPH app. That's AWEDIO. Do note, all analyses, opinions, recommendations, and other information in this podcast are for your general information only. You should not rely on them in making any decision. Please consult a fully qualified financial advisor or professional expert for independent advice and verification. To the fullest extent permitted by law, SPH Media shall not be liable for any loss arising from the use of or reliance on any analyses, opinions, recommendations, and other information in this podcast. SPH Media accepts no responsibility or liability whatsoever that may result or arise from the products, services, or information of any third parties.